Welcome everyone to Bulbacast episode number 9. This is ColonFest 2006. Since there is no AAG episode today, I'd like to introduce every single person that will be participating in this cast. First of all, we have Pi, BMG Mod.
Hey everybody.
We have PBN Steve from Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
And finally, last but not least, Archaic from Bubble Garden, Webmaster, all that good
stuff.
Hey
everyone.
And now, like I said, we're going to have a pretty good show for you today. Since AG 171 is next week and not this week, we're going to have all Clones today. And let's begin some right now. We start ColonFest 2006 with Chosen of Mana. Let's bring him in now. Hello, Chosen of Mana. Welcome to Bulbacast 9.
Thanks, guys.
And since it is a ColonFest, you can talk about anything. So what would you like to ask us?
Okay, maybe we can talk about the upcoming episode where Harvey and the Villains Alliance, if we got any info.
Not much, to be honest.
We have
we're in for another speculation fest.
Yeah, we have the summary, that's about it.
Yeah.
We can only assume what's going on there. Because it is going to be indeed a very interesting alliance, to say the least.
Those summaries are delightfully vague. Well, by delightfully, I mean pain in the word I probably should say on the Bulbacast.
My best guess is that they've basically both recognized May as a threat for the contest, and they're going to try and do something sneaky to knock her out. Maybe they're just going to do something so they're not actually up against each other in the contests, and so they've got more chances to make sure that May doesn't get through to the end.
That's not
or
like,
maybe that
seems to be like
not,
to,
I don't know
seems
we
to
don't
be like,
know.
Targeted like that before
seems to me like they would go to greater lengths and just making sure they were on opposite sides of the tournament or something. That seems to me like they might be considering something more sabotage, like
Just
knowing their history and the like.
It's going to backfire, and it's.
Oh yeah, of course it's going to backfire.
And
because
maybe they'll give Squirtle the antidote to Pokerus.
Antidote.
Yeah, it'll be the Godmod antidote.
Squirtle.
What are they going
to
do? Break its foot or something?
Squirtle forgot Ice Beam. And Squirtle learned Splash.
No, because they're going to put anti-steroids things in EV's game.
Oh, God.
No. All they had to go is go to the move deleter and get rid of Ice Beam.
Be back.
That would be great.
They got to get Squirtle there, though. That's just
they'll kidnap it and bring it to the move deleter.
I don't know.
We really have no idea.
Harley in the series, because I guess the fans really like him.
Yeah, he's pretty popular.
He's been set up to be the main rival to May season.
That might be
for whatever reason.
And maybe he's going to... I don't know. Who's going to initiate this alliance? Team Rocket or Harley?
That's a very good question.
We can probably assume... Nothing. Well, actually, wait a second. Last time Team Rocket tried to ally with Harley, Harley laughed him off.
Yeah, I just remember that after blurring.
I have a feeling that Harley's going to come back to Team Rocket because he's heard of Hall, you know, and all that, to try to do something. Of course, it's going to backfire. And, you know, but that'll still get Harley his lead role in another episode.
Yeah, he might figure that it's not going to work anyway and that they couldn't really help him, but at the least, their idiotic antics might distract Haruka a little from her practice.
That could be that. It could be something totally different that we're not thinking along, and I'm sure people on the forums will be thinking along that line. I won't mention it, but yeah, could be that. Something else, totally different. Could be a lot of things. Just really have to wait and see how it all plays out.
So
Judging by the summary and whatnot, it's just not enough information to really create any kind of decent hypothesis of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess the final word is just to see and find out.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's always fun speculating, too.
So...
Got anything else?
No, I guess that's it. Thanks, guys. Later.
Hey, thanks for your call.
No problem.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
And thank you, Charles Romano, for calling there. Now, let's move on to our next caller. It's going to be BGT.
Hello,
BGT, again. And welcome to Bulbcast 9.
Hello? Okay, basically the question I had was, what do you think, I've never seen it really defined in the anime. What do you think really would make someone a Pokemon master? Would it be just public acceptance, or... I mean, what goals would you have to meet to actually claim that title?
Ooh. Well, of course, there's a lot of different routes to that, because Ash never really seemed to consider catching them all to be essential.
But yet again, you have to consider that it isn't an easy feat to accomplish, because that implies that you have to catch every single one of them, and that is purely impossible. That by definition, but there are several definitions to that.
Yeah, catching all the Pokemon in the world is impossible because of the sheer fact that you'd have to go ahead and steal all Pokemon from the trainer. But catching one of every kind of Pokemon just borders on the really, 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 really hard.
You'd be a master before you had all of them, frankly. Exactly. With all the legendaries out there, you wouldn't have to catch or raise up any of them.
And then you kind of have to hope that there's more than one of the ones that have died already, like Lucario.
It really depends on how you want to go about it. I mean, it could simply be winning tournaments, but then again, you just assume that somehow the contest trainers could become masters in some way, too. So it's fairly open. Maybe it is just winning a major tournament of whatever field you're in, whether that be contests or battling or whatever. But that doesn't really feel enough, does it?
No, I mean, it's got to be more.
Ash has already won the Orange League. He's come very close at Kanto, Johto, and Hoenn, and they still don't consider him to be a master.
No. I think the closest anime character we had to a master was that old guy with the white hair. What was his name? Recently aired.
Don't know.
Oak could be a master.
Who sat down in the middle of the battle and, you know, they had to have their little snack and lunch and all that.
But wait a second. In the anime timeline, is Oak still a former Pokemon League champion?
I think so. We consider Oak being a Pokemon professor a master?
I wouldn't consider
it. A retired master.
Perhaps.
So is it more or less like you're saying it's a title that's unobtainable, or...
You know...
It's not an official title. Really. It's more an honorific
title. Well, if we go by the league standards, it's supposed to be. Aren't the Elite Four supposed to be masters?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there are different interpretations of that quotation. Because in one person's eyes, it might mean different than maybe an official...
So maybe it's a personal thing.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Probably. If you're a master, if you're in tune with your Pokemon and you know all the different basics and whatnot, types and moves and... Just, you know,
I guess you're a master if other people acknowledge you're a master. It's like a cool. You're cool because other people say you're cool. You're not cool because of any specific thing you did.
It's all about influence and peers.
That's very possible.
If it is official title, I think it would have to be an international tournament. But I'm really getting the impression that it's an unofficial thing. It's just like, if you win a lot of really big tournaments, people are just going to start calling you a master.
Because you have mastered that particular activity.
Yeah.
It's just a cool thing that TV announcers can call trainers. Let's be honest.
So I think it's basically just a way of saying, I want to be really, 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 really good at Pokemon training.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a form of advertising.
You'll ever attain mastership, but, you know, it's still a goal to strive for. So even if the series ends and he's not become a master, it motivates people who are still into the series or Pokemon in general to continue on, et cetera, you know.
I thought it was just mainly towards public acceptance, but I didn't know if there was some sort of definition that would apply to the title.
There's none.
It's unknown.
Actually spelled out, so no.
It's kind of like common sense rules that are in various countries. Yeah. For example, let me try to think of an example here. Non-written rules. I mean, you could think of it as courtesy, or some other rules that or other regulations that don't need to be written down, but everybody seems to know. Like, trying to think here. Blah. I can't even think of anything now. Think of any examples?
I'm not sure.
Well, think about it. Think about
I think we've pretty much answered the question at this point.
Yeah.
We're just starting to ramble on now.
Yes. Yeah. And we have any more people to call.
Yeah,
and
have to keep calls.
Do you have any other questions?
No, that was mainly my main question I was wanting to ask.
All right.
All right, BGC, thank you very much for being on the cast, and we'll have you on a later date, later episode, too. So thank you very much.
All right, thanks for letting me call in.
All right, you're welcome. See ya.
See ya.
Need Pokemon information? Hey, there's only one place to get it. Pokemon Palace Network. PPN has game cheats, game information, episode information, movie information. Remember, don't get your daily dose of Pokemon anywhere else. That's PokemonPalace.net.
All right, moving on. Rolling right along with this Call-In Fest 2006. Two calls so far, and we're going on number three. And that third call, and we'll be winner. So let's get him in. Welcome, winner, to Bulbacast 9.
All right, you probably wanted me to get on here to talk about my experience as a Pokemon Ranger.
That'd be a great topic to go on. Sure, go right ahead.
I gotta be honest, going in, I didn't really have high hopes for Ranger. I didn't think it was gonna be a very fun game. And about a week before its release, I decided to get it. And I completed it fairly quickly, but it's a very fun game. It gives you a lot of room to explore, a lot of areas, forests, caves, lakes, and such. And it features a lot of Pokemon and a lot of puzzles, so... any questions? I don't know.
What being pitched it so quickly, is it all just mission-based, or...?
Yeah, pretty much. And then, the real time for the hours probably comes from trying to find all the Pokemon and completing the Ranger decks.
Do you do any of the after-credits quest to get the Pokemon and stuff?
Yeah, finding different things. You have to complete all your... you have to get everything to get Snorlax. That's the final one. I don't know if... That might be a spoiler. I don't know if that could be...
I don't know.
How many hours did you spend actually playing the game every day?
Well, I completed it in 3 days, and that was at 12 hours apiece. So
about 36 hours. Wow.
Yeah, and to complete the Ranger decks, I'd probably say that's about another 20-25 hours, and that's me just playing it straight through.
I've got a few questions about the Ranger decks. I'm guessing that you add Pokemon to the Ranger decks just by having them in your power once.
Yeah, just by catching them. And then there's
So does the Ranger decks span all the Pokemon? Are there ones that you can't get in the game, or
you can only get 218?
All right.
And there's a list somewhere on a Japanese site.
Okay. Which one? What are some of the ones that aren't?
I thought there was 220 of them.
Well, if you count Manaphy and Deoxys. Yeah, so, and then there are three ways to get Pokemon as well, besides, well, actually, three games. The three capture games. There's a safari game in one of the towns where you're given 3 minutes to catch Pokemon for certain points just to try and get a score. That has a number of Pokemon early on in the game, and also when you complete it, there are some more added. There is a water capture game in which you ride a Lapras around. That's in a town called Summertown. And then there is one final game which I have not completed yet. It is extremely difficult. It is in Fall City, and you have to get a score of 50,000 points in 2 minutes.
Wow.
And the only way you can do that is by rounding up several Pokemon at one time, because throughout the different rounds, because by having more Pokemon in the battlefield, by being able to round them up, the score is tripled. And I came very close, and I quickly got frustrated. I had to turn it off because it was just too difficult. But
so there is something to challenge you if you so desire.
Absolutely. Sometimes what you'll have to do is you'll have to go from different place to different place just to get one Pokemon, and then just to break an obstacle.
What's the map like? What, moving between cities? Do you actually travel like you would in the normal Pokemon games, or do you just like go back to a main map screen and choose the city?
You basically just walk around, and there's a little navigator thing there to show you where you're going.
You said that there's a Summer Town in Fall City, so I'm guessing there's four places named after the four seasons.
No, I don't think so, actually.
Really? Is there a winter or something? Except for the game?
as far as I know, no, there isn't. There's an ice cave, but there is no winter town.
Is there a spring?
I'm not really sure.
So there's just summer and fall?
As far as I know, yes.
What about the other towns? What are their names based on? Or
those I actually forgot. But one thing that I wanted to mention was that there's transportation, as with other things in the game. Like, if you want to go from city to city, you can actually ride on a Dragonite.
Whee!
Dragonite
That's
air.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's
Please
a trainer.
Hold
that
your Dragonite scales to a full and upright position.
But,
yeah.
But, you can basically, there are basically, three main cities that you can travel between, and for you know, easy transportation, and you can carry around up to seven Pokemon. You start with four. There is also a which you gain by, of course, completing the different missions. You also gain experience points in this game, but it's for a different cause. It's for the Ranger meter. You've probably saw in the screenshots, drawing the circles around and maybe a Pokemon breaking them and then a little meter going down. Well, as you go up in levels by circling Pokemon, you gain points. Of course, the harder the Pokemon, the more the points are. So for, you know, say a Mudkip, you might only get a few points. But if you were to round up several Pokemon, let's just say Donphan. Donphan's a pretty common Pokemon later in the game. If you were to round up several Donphan, you might get a few hundred points.
And those actually increase your capture
right
ability, or let's say whatever, your Pokemon won't
right,
have less of a chance to break out.
By increasing the level of the Pokemon Ranger that you are.
Right. It increases the power of the capture, let's say.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the max level is. If I had to take a guess, I'd probably say about 30. So that would make your life meter. You only gain a few, you only get a small increase to your life bar each level. And I would imagine.
So the ranges themselves can actually be injured?
Trying to think. If you fail, you don't lose completely. I guess you, and you don't technically white out. I guess your device fails, and then you have to go back. I don't know how to really describe it, but yeah, I guess you could say that the Ranger's health meter does go down, because
wow.
Essentially that's what it is, because
well,
you're physically trying to round up
game.
The Pokemon rather than just throw a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of us have actually wanted to see done in Diamond and Pearl. I mean, why would the bad guys just attack your Pokemon? Attack the trainer, then run off with his Pokemon.
Exactly. And maybe steal his items or personal belongings. That could date back to some other RPG games, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy, for some examples.
Leave him stuck in the middle of the forest in only his underwear.
They'd love that.
Some
that wouldn't get past Nintendo.
Yeah, but I don't think, considering the demographic of the game, I don't think they'll have that happen. Or perhaps, maybe, but I don't know.
Well, you can have attack the trainer and lose the items, but I doubt that's going to be much more than that.
Yeah, why do you want to steal somebody's clothes?
Yeah.
It's not like you go to Salvation Army and pick up clothes. It's like they don't have clothes. Okay, what happens if it doesn't fit?
Well, one option they might be able to take in Diamond and Pearl, and I guess we can make this a segue if you want, is if you recall from Ocarina of Time, when Link had the different tunics. You know, if in Diamond and Pearl you are entering a fire area, you would have to have, you know, a fire resistant, you know, type of armor or clothing, perhaps.
You think they'll go that deep?
I'm going to go and eat for about a half an hour, so I'll be back.
Well, let's end this call then.
Okay.
All right.
Pause, and that'll be that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Winter, for calling.
Thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye.
Let's get Hobbs 22-22 on next from Colin Fest 2000.
Okay.
Welcome, Hobbs, to Bowlcast 9.
Hi.
Hi.
Since this is very random, what topic would you like to discuss?
I was just kind of wanting to know. I think before you had, like, you know, GSC, that could, you know, you could go into, you know, Kanto and Johto. And then what do you think about, like, some game that you can explore, like Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, and maybe, like, expand Battle Frontier and all that?
Well, I hope that they do that in Diamond and Pearl, because if they are going to not enhance the graphics too much, as I said before, they are probably going to include all the regions. And considering the sizes of DS carts, they can do it. I mean, it would be great of all fans. I mean,
forever.
Yeah. What could happen though is it could turn into a 200-hour RPG, and that's going to the heights where Final Fantasy. Is the newer Final Fantasy games where you have to.
Would anyone mind that though?
I don't think so. I mean, if you really enjoy the game, go right ahead. If you want nostalgia, go right ahead. But if you're going to have to suffer through it,
why would you suffer? It would be different gameplay. It would be more exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think just on the point that you were saying that if some people might not like the link, they could always make all these alternate regions optional. I mean, most people are going to go to them anyway, but it's probably not going to be like you have to go to these regions or you can't beat the game. Kind of like Battle Frontier. You have to go there if you want the cool stuff, but you don't have to go there if you want to beat the game.
Technically, you didn't have to go to the Kanto region in Gold, Silver, Crystal to beat the game. Beating the game was really Elite Four, not going on and beating the extra opponent of Ash.
Exactly.
Or Red, or whatever.
It could be like that. You know, they could also add a lot more new elements to it because they have the room to do so.
Yeah, it's like all the side quests and all that other stuff.
Side quests, a full type RPG.
It'd be a good place to put extra Pokemon.
Wi-Fi.
Fit in the other region.
Now, here's my question to you. Perhaps what they can do is they could have some sort of. You could choose your region. Like, for example, if you didn't want to start in Kanto, you could start in Hoenn, you could start at Orange.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't be that difficult.
It wouldn't be that difficult. The only problem is, what do you do to the other gym leaders in the other regions? Do you reduce their levels as well and just make it so when you eventually get to go to the other regions, you're going to have to catch lower level Pokemon to go in the gym?
Or perhaps it could come up like a string where it's like if-then statements. If you've been to this region already, or if this is your second region, they're going to calculate the levels already.
By the time you get to the last region, they'll probably be at level 100 or close.
Perhaps.
It'd be great for training,
actually,
though.
Why not simply have each gym with a level cap, forcing you to catch new Pokemon from that region, or maybe
that
other low-level
very
Pokemon
interesting.
From that region to do it.
That would be cool.
It would actually be cool.
Go ahead. Sorry.
As a game player, what would you like to see in Diamond and Pearl?
Brock.
What I just said.
Wait, what?
No, this is for Hobbs.
Okay.
What would you like to see in the game?
I think it's just like a lot more just expansion and being able to explore. Like some of the ideas you guys suggested, like all the being able to select your own region. That's actually pretty nice because it kind of prevents kind of that you start here and you have to go to all these other places.
Right.
You kind of get the more flexibility.
You get more flexibility.
Exactly. And also it increases the longevity of the game.
Well, it makes each game different, too, because you're starting differently. There ought to be some random factor in there so that each game you play depends on various factors to create the game scenario. So it's random every time. So let's say you played it this year starting in Orange. Next time you play it and complete, and you completed the game. So you're going to play it again now because it's the second time around. You start in Johto or somewhere, Hoenn. But the whole game is different because it's all randomly regenerated each time you start a new game.
One thing that I keep bringing up every time I would talk about things that we want to see in Diamond and Pearl, this is something I've wanted to see from the start, and if they do expand it this much, or even if they just touch into the world of online play as we know they're going to do, I really want to be able to customize my person's look. I mean, this is a very interactive game, and yet there's two appearances that people can have. That's not enough. I want to be able to look the way I want, not male or female.
Yeah,
they might be able to do that now.
Hopefully.
With the older sprites, it would have actually been easier to do it. I mean, you might not remember, but back when Conidas was trying to do his Pokemon Online thing, the one thing that he did get out and in public was the sprite designer. And it would not have been difficult to do that. But if we're going to be using more Super Nintendo-style sprites for this rather than little dinky 8-bit sprites, then I think the best you're going to be able to arrange for are simple palette swaps and maybe wearing different outfits.
Yeah.
We might get lucky. There might be like hairdressers that let you choose between 20 different hairdos and colors, and you might be able to buy clothes for yourself, which may even have special effects and so
forth. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Trade clothes with friends.
Rare clothing that you can only get from certain people, like Brock's vest or something. Cough.
Yeah, perhaps.
There's a lot of possibilities they can actually get into this game if they, you know, new
if they
fans,
just want to.
They want. Well, they probably don't do a lot of surveys to find out what they want in the game. They just go by, you know, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, this sounds cool from a game programmer's perspective, not from the player, not from the fan anyway. They have to make it playable, obviously. And I'm sure they play test them.
Yeah. Well, you always got to play test.
Yeah, you always
have
to
beta test. Yeah, but they don't fan test. Okay, what do we want? I want online interaction. I want the dang thing when I plug it in.
Everyone wants online interaction.
I want to be able to get up with a friend and we can go RPGing together or something. Random battles. Et cetera. I like the idea of the random starting also, which we haven't brought up before. I like that. That sounds really good, especially if you can get it to generate random maps each time.
That might be our whole random map might be a little tough, I think.
Not really.
Maybe for some certain areas, but I think it's
generally
kinda,
random.
What I'm talking about tough is more like along with make it match up with the anime, because I mean the anime tends
to try to match it to the anime.
Anime tends to throw following any sort of map out the window anyway, but if there's no general.
Ever since past Orange, yeah, you're right.
But Panto anyway.
And Orange followed the game maps fairly religiously.
And then the other ones are kind of, let's at least use it as a loose guideline. Now you're not even giving them the loose guideline. They're just going to say, oh, by the way, here's this very conveniently placed town, and this very conveniently placed town. Bit too much.
Yeah, I think. Was there a game for PlayStation that did something like that? What
Monster Rancher?
No, Legend of Mana.
Oh, yeah, Legend of Mana. Blah.
I don't think Monster Rancher ever did that. Monster Rancher did some pretty weird stuff, but I don't think it ever did that.
Well, I know it's not that hard to do in games, because it's just really a random number generator.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think there's kind of something nice about having one region, like a common map that everyone knows, makes it feel like everyone's part of the same world. Not just in their own
world. It could be an option, you know, you turn it on random or not. Maybe.
Could be like I said, it could be just little parts of things, like maybe this one park that never looks the same twice.
Like a forest, for example?
Yeah.
Because you always get lost in the forest. So the mazes would change in the forest.
Make it full of stuff like Sudowoodo. Have it walking trees.
Call it a forest of illusion or something, yada yada. Yeah. Could be done.
There's all kinds of neat things they can do to keep the interaction with the fans, you know, highlighted and
honestly, though, I think a forest which has constantly changing maps would be very annoying to players unless you're able to bypass it at some point.
Flying, you mean?
I don't know.
If you're going to have to travel through it a lot in the early game, that would piss people off. If you can just travel through it once, maybe keep going back there if you wanted to get Pokemon, that wouldn't be so bad.
You could hide a rare Pokemon in there, too. And that would be your challenge, why it would change.
Something like Celebi, except very malicious.
Well, whatever. Get confused. Just something that would be desired, or something you'd have to get later in the game to complete a task or something.
Anyway,
you know, that's
we should probably
just a step meaner than having that blacked out rooms that you can't get through unless you
unless you had Flash or some other
HM. Flash didn't even work in those blacked out rooms.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not much different. Mm-hmm. It changes every time.
So might want to continue
remember
with
the map.
Might want to change it. Might want to continue with the call-in fest now.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yes. Yep, and thank you, Hollis, for calling in. Once again, very insightful
speculation
information.
Speculation is fun.
Yep, speculation is fun. And we'll get you back on again, of course.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Bye.
Great call-in again.
Yep. Mm.
We like the speculation. We do.
Yeah, speculation makes people think, you know?
Yeah, well, and if we can get our word and what we like to see in the game out there, you know, maybe somebody...
Maybe somebody will hear it, pick up on it.
Yeah,
not, if not in Diamond and Pearl, then whatever follows.
Yep.
Okay. Next in the call-in fest, we have a special guest, the Spanish PM operator and also owner of Pokemon Safari. That is the one and only Poke Safari, so let's get him on right now. Hello, Poke Safari. Welcome to Bulbacast 9.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So what topic would you like to discuss this time?
Well, I was wondering what you were thinking about Gorfish evolving in the Battle Pyramid or sometime soon.
Hmm. Mm. Very interesting Robot speculation here.
Robot already evolved and Fanfi also, so I should get his team ready to fight the Frontier League or whatever it comes.
So yeah, our cons on it are as follows. I know Hegani has evolved, he was called at AG-22, and it's now AG-170 and hasn't evolved yet.
It's probably due.
It's due for its evolution in the next few episodes. That's all I have to say on that topic. Because you already had Tsubame evolve in 80 episodes.
And he has been using it a lot lately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe it's going to...
I don't know what...
Surprise evolutions where, they don't say anything, it just happens.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, I'm not sure whether or not I'm for or against the idea of Corphish evolving. Because on one hand, Crawdaunt is cool. I do like it. But on the other hand, Corphish is really, really cool.
God, as his other one.
Kingler.
Yeah, it's going to probably evolve here in the next few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Okay, goodbye.
All right, thanks, PS, for calling. Anyway, thank you, PS, for all of your insight and other things.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Yes.
So is that it for the Bulbacast, or are we going
to... No, it's...
What I think is interesting is how the shippers seem to have really taken control when you think about it. I mean, the OPN...
Every little thing that happens, there's a ship on it.
Oh, well, yeah. Not only that, but, I mean...
Everything that doesn't happen, there's a ship on it.
Almost a lot of the people who are in staff positions in the big anime-focused sites are not only shippers, but... former or even still current members of the OPS. I mean, you've got myself, you've got Moz, who was a former member, you've got Barb, you've got Murgatroyd, you've got Dr. Ron over on Cerebi, you've got Razor Raven over on Cerebi. There's more. Who else?
Meanwhile, the Phantom itself has been taken over by people who have no support for their ship. Advanced shippers cough.
That's only happened at Cerebi, and even there, the poker ship. And actually, there's more poker shippers. It's just
awesome.
Just that, like in the old days with the power shippers, the advanced shippers are more vocal.
They probably see it as.
I should try and make a widespread following for clothes stealing shipping. I think there already is a widespread following for clothes stealing shipping.
In the old days as well, you used to have people who weren't shippers simply assuming that poker shipping was the default, and if they had to support anything, they'd support that. These days it tends to be advanced shipping, which is kind of a problem, because there are a lot less dedicated shippers who are advanced shippers.
Yeah, but advanced shipping is really...
Advanced shipping has no evidence.
Me, I wouldn't care about shipping at all.
Pokey ship.
I don't care, I just want to get the information.
I'm devoted to two ships. One is between Brock and myself, and one is between Brock and my original character. Anyway.
If Brock was mentioned.
What?
No matter what. You would have to be in there if Brock's name was brought up in any ship. So it would be you.
Three-way ship?
I'm very picky about my Brock ship, surprisingly. I mean, I really do want to see him hook up with anyone, but at the same time, I want that person to be good.
He had his chance.
Well, why not that frontier brain? What's her Japanese name again? I can never remember.
I don't know, but I know her English name is Lucy.
Lucy, yeah.
It is, I could pull up Cape Flair right now and I can tell you.
Yeah. But anyway, what about her with Brock?
I gotta say, it didn't seem realistic. It bothered me in the same way that Brock and Wilhelmina bothered me. It's like, there's no reason why this person would suddenly go against the way most Pokemon females think, and I don't know, it just didn't...
I actually like Brock.
Well, as far as Brock and Lucy goes, I think we have to consider it in the context of ability shipping. Ash and Annabelle?
Yeah, I like it as a one-time ship. That's about the extent that it goes.
Yeah, but the fact that they've actually done this kind of thing again and so soon...
I think they're bored.
It does seem like they're going to touch on... Yeah, well, I think they are bored. They're going to touch on shipping just like they did in Orange Islands because they got nothing else to do until Diamond and Pearl comes out.
Azami.
Yeah.
I think they're good one-time ships, but I really can't see it working out. I think if they're ever going to actually seriously hook Brock up with a girl and not do it, I think that they're either going to, one, wait until the end of the series or the very last time we see Brock and then like just hook him up with the character of the day, which will suck, or two...
We did with Ivy already.
Yeah. What is probably going to happen, but what I hope doesn't happen, so that's kind of my issue. But the other way they could do it, the way that I hope they do it, but they probably won't because it would take a lot of effort, if they ever wanted to seriously hook them up with a girl, they would probably introduce someone older than Misty and May, some girl, into the group. And then they would probably have her... What?
No, it's not going to ever happen that way. It will never be part of the group.
I think that's the only way that they could ever really develop a ship between him and a girl.
Nope.
His ships don't need development. They just need a girl who's not going to reject him outright.
Except that's the girl du jour.
It's going to be somebody they... Right. It's going to be like a girl du jour, but it's not. It's going to develop into something deeper. And Brock is going to...
That's what I know that it's gonna.
Just
that
like
they're probably. Yeah, that's what
but
they're
probably. No,
PPN, listen to me. That's what they are probably going to do, and that's what's probably going to suck because, as Ivy demonstrated, those things don't really turn out well. And as ships like Poke Shipping, Contest Shipping, and even Advanced Shipping show, ships are cuter if they actually have some development, not boy meets girl, girl accepts boy, boy is never seen again. Except at the wedding.
Now, there could be development. It's just they could do a temporary come with the group thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I would personally...
It wouldn't be a formal joining of the group, though.
Like you could have just as much development with the character coming in like once every 20 episodes and having a hint filled episode, then traveling with them for all those 20 episodes.
Yeah,
and then
that would be fine if someone's showing up every once in a while.
That's what I think they can do with Azami.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. When are we ever
going to be like a permanent party?
I think Azami's a one time. I don't see her leaving her pike anytime soon.
Anyway, are we going to bring in another call or are we finishing here? Because I do have some things I need to do today.
So I guess the answer is no to... So I guess
can we
nobody.
Finish here then?
Now, just about do it for Bobblecast episode number 9. I'd like to thank every single participant of this Bobblecast. Pi, PBN Steve, and Archaic. Our Collins, Hobbs 2222, BGT, Winter, and Poké Safari, as well as Chosen of Mana. I'm Jesus Killer, and we will all say to you, goodbye everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Matane, mina. Oh, you